Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thanks for joining me. We're going to have a really fun, kick-ass show today. I'm really looking forward to it. But first, I wanted to tell you, if you have any comments today during the show or any time after, you can call in at 1-888-874-4888, or you can send me an email at info@realmeals.org. Okay, today we have in the studio live John Joseph, and he's the author of, check out this title, Meat is for Pussies. His early life was tumultuous, but changing how he thought about food saved him from the same early death of many of his peers faced. Today, almost 30 years since first swearing off meat, John is training for an Ironman triathlon, rocking insane mosh pits, whatever that is, with the Cro-Mags, and hitting the gym every day. Needless to say, he has more energy than most dudes half his age. The knowledge contained in Meat is for Pussies work for John, and picking up this book can be seen as the first step to transforming your life. To read more about John's amazing journey, pick up his memoir, The Evolution of a Cro-Magnon, available on Punk House. Welcome, John.
Well put.
Well, I didn't write it. So, I've read your book, and it's an easy read, and it's very passionate, it's very fun, but you really get right to the point. Every line, it's like, get the point, get right to the point.
Absolutely. Dropping bombs, as we say.
That's, yeah, that's... And that's what it should be, really, because we need a revolution.
Absolutely.
Now, I always like to get to know my guests, so I didn't read your memoir, but I'm going to. And even before reading it, I am in awe of who you are and how far you've come based on your beginnings, which, from what I've gleaned so far, were not the ideal.
Absolutely not. I mean, my father was a professional boxer and became an alcoholic. Basically, beat my mother every day. My mother had nervous breakdowns. Mm-hmm. State took us away, and we were raised in an abusive, bounced around through homes, me and my two brothers, and ended up in a really bad foster home for 7 years. And in 1976, we were put in, that home was closed down by the state in 75, and then they put us in St. John's Home for Boys, 76. January 4th, 1977, I went onto the streets of New York City as a kid. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's an old school New Yorker, you know what New York streets were like back then. And after about 18 months, I got sentenced to 2 years upstate. And I was in Spofford, Lincoln Hall. And after that, I joined the Navy. And on my travels, you know, that's why I believe in fate and the universe stepping in into someone's life. Because out of all places, my ship went to Jamaica. Mm. And I met a Rastafarian down there who was into raw foods and Ital and clean living. And I got that first bit of knowledge from him. You know, and the Navy's just meat and potatoes. So I actually ended up meeting a band called the Bad Brains and went AWOL from the Navy because I felt my spiritual calling was more important than anything else. And I worked for them and became complete. Vegan, raw foods, met Victorious Kovinskis in that whole period, lived in burnt out buildings on the Lower East Side, 1980-81, listened to Gary Noel on my little radio, and then that's, I mean, I straightened up my military thing and all that back in 95, so there's no warrants, don't be coming up to the studio.
Nobody's coming up here.
But I just gained more and more knowledge over the years of doing raw foods and seeing the disease and people dying from completely treatable diseases. And basically, the whole book is about preventative medicine because with the drug companies in cahoots with the FDA, Codex Alimentarius, everything else that's going on, the real knowledge of health and food is being suppressed to the masses, and there's really a dumbing down process going on, you know, for several reasons that I won't, that's coming out in another book, but...
Okay, well, maybe we'll touch on it.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel that, you know, the stupider they can keep us, that the more easily we're controlled. I mean, foods of a higher vibration tend to enlighten one's consciousness, and then they start to stop and say, what am I in this rat race for, and what's life really about? And when you start asking those pertinent questions, then, you know, you cease to become a consumer of crap. And that's what they're putting out there.
Well, again, I'm blown away because I know so many people that are fortunate. And by what I mean by fortunate is they have a family, they're surrounded by love and support, and they have a home over and a roof over their head and food to eat and a decent education. Okay, that's fortunate. You don't have to be, you know, on a six-figure or million-dollar salary to be fortunate. And yet, these people that are educated still don't know what's going on, don't realize what they're eating, and are poisoning themselves and their family and the environment, and are causing pain and suffering to other species, and are really keeping their head in the sand about it. And here it is, somebody like yourself, who has not had all the options and all the opportunities, came to this very profound realization. So hats off to you.
Thank you.
And sometimes I wonder, is that what it takes? You know, do we have to really reach bottom in order to find truth?
Well, I mean, it was, I'm skipping on his name right now, the Irish poet who said, discontent is the first step in the progress of a man or a nation. And I really believe that. And, you know, people have gotten so lazy in America, in particular, because, I mean, like I said, I sing for the Cro-Mags. I'm still traveling around the world spreading the message of what's going on, and not just in America with the food, because now with the EU and all this stuff, for instance, the Netherlands used to ban GMO mm-hmm. products. Mm-hmm. Now they're one of the biggest producers of GMO foods for all of Europe. And even in South America, I was just down in Santiago, down in Chile, and there's all these protests going on. And what they're doing is, if anyone is hip to the documentary Flow, what they're doing now in Chile is trying to block the water flow coming out of the Andes and build a dam the same way so that they can suppress third world farmers. I mean, the stuff that's really going on, and I really feel fortunate that in my life, for whatever reason, I was fortunate enough to come in contact with very knowledgeable people, but I also applied the knowledge, and that's the main thing is, you know, we have to apply the knowledge, and, you know, to me, I feel indebted to those people, mm-hmm. but also I feel there's a need to pay the knowledge forward. And as far as the title of the book, I train in martial arts. I boxed when I was locked up as a kid. I've been training in martial arts and fighting 30 years, and I'm in the gym. I'm training for an Ironman, but the title came because someone in the gym said, you know, to me, not knowing that I was vegans, like he made some comment about vegans that, yeah, they're all skinny little pussies. And then I was like, dude, I haven't eaten meat, fish, eggs, dairy, none of this stuff in 30 years. You want to get in the ring? So he's like, coming up with all these excuses. But the point is that there's a misconception that to kill... I'm friends with Moby, and one of the things he said, which I love, is that what's so tough about eating, killing an animal that eats grass? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's this sense of machoism behind eating meat and, good steak. And, you know, it's all nonsense because, you know, I even dedicated a whole chapter to the protein myth and all this crap that's going on. Like, you know, the only thing we need in life is protein as a man. And it's like, you know, when you start getting into superfoods, chlorella, E3 Live, and Blue Green Algae, and all this maca and all this other stuff, chia seeds, these guys, like you're speaking friggin' a Martian language or something. You know, but it's out of, like I said, it's really out of compassion. I lost a lot of people that I love to cancer and disease and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you know, the drug companies really are trying to suppress the knowledge that's getting out there. And, you know, what they really consider us as is nothing more than a revenue source from the moment we're born to the moment we die. So if we are healthy, I don't take any drugs at all. I mean, not for anything. I don't need to, because I don't take intoxication, I don't smoke, I don't any kind of drugs, you know, and I eat, I make proper food choices, and basically I don't ever get sick. So I am the drug company's worst nightmare, and if I can do it, anybody can do it. And that's a fact. We just, you know, I've gotten, you know, thousands of emails on Facebook and everything. Somebody I know who's a Hell's Angel read my book and got off meat. Someone else I know who's an FBI agent read my book and said I got a cop. I mean, all kinds of people. And that's who I'm really trying to grab with this book. And that's why I put guys like Mac Danzig, the UFC champion, and Jake Shields, and Mike Mauler, and all these really tough guys that, you know, they don't eat meat, and they don't eat any dairy, and they don't support these industries that ravage the planet and cause suffering unnecessarily to living entities, animals, and all that. So.
Well, what I like your book for a lot of reasons. Meat is for Pussies by John Joseph, and I recommend people picking it up. It's a real easy and quick read, and really gets to the point. The thing is, there are so many different kinds of people on the planet, and different things will appeal to different people. So sometimes we talk about what would really motivate somebody to become a vegetarian and a vegan, and some people say, oh, it's health, and some people say, oh, it's the environment, and some people say, oh, it's animals. And there's not one thing that will appeal to every individual. And so I love it when more and more people are coming from different angles. I had Breeze Harper on, who wrote Sista Vegan, and she talked about the African-American or people of color situation, and she came to the conclusion that being a vegan was the right thing for everything that she had been through and all the exploitation and discrimination, everything that she had realized, and she connected it to what's going on with the animals. There are different people that have authored books coming from a Jewish perspective or a Christian perspective or a Buddhist perspective, and I love it when people come from their own situation and come up with the reasons why it's the right thing to do. And so yours is the first from your circle.
The punk rock street life.
It is beautiful, and we need it. And I'm glad that you're touching so many people, and I hope many, 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 many people read it and get the message.
Well, you know, one of the main, I mean, I was going to punk rock. That's one of the things when I was on the street. I was going to Max's Kansas City in 77. And, you know, the first law of punk rock is to question authority. And,
right.
You know, a lot of these guys, if I say, dude, man, you shouldn't eat animals because, like, they cause a lot of pain. Most of these people, they don't care. The compassion aspect is not what I tried to push in the book. What I did try to push was to really get people pissed off as to what's being done to them without their knowledge. For instance, all the GMO companies, Monsanto, and everyone who believed that Obama was going to come in here and make all these changes for the people. Look who's the food safety czar for America, Michael Taylor. All these guys are Monsanto goons pushing the GMO agenda on the people. And if anyone has seen the future of food, then you know how deadly and untested these genetically modified crops are. So between this and, you know, one year they're releasing medications to the masses, and you know, if you put on the 6:30 news, every commercial is for a new drug.
Oh, I know.
And then 5 years later there's a huge recall, and I mean, how did this drug get released in the first place?
Question is, how do people swallow all this information and those drugs?
Exactly.
Just looking at the commercials alone, how anybody could take those seriously, because they're so creepy. And then the whole list of side effects. That
it's like
they
death.
Say,
it's
a bad Saturday Night Live commercial.
Take this pill for acid reflux, but your penis won't work. You're gonna have seizures.
It's really crazy. The thing about Obama, and I don't want to slam him. He's one man, and he can't do it all, and he's got a lot on his plate that other people did before he got there. And the point is that we can't expect one person to solve all the world's problems. It's up to each one of us individually, and we have to do our own thing. We have to do what's right, and part of what's right is to not support with our money products that aren't good for us, good for our family, good for the environment.
I mean, in that sense, I don't trust any government, any politician. To me, this country's been sold out to the corporations a long time ago.
Yeah.
He was placed in office, and the bottom line with the whole thing is, when there's an agenda going on, it doesn't matter who's in there. That's just the face. And what's really going on is the agenda of these corporations. So if you just look at who's in the cabinet as far as, I mean, you know, all these people, Brzezinski, these people are all, you know, Bilderberg and everything else. So, you know, the point is, it's kind of hard to, you know, for the masses to not take to the agenda because it's forced down their throat, as you say. And, you know, when they're looking to ban, you know, herbal medicines and all these other things that's going on, and Monsanto, and having these people, Taylor, Beach, Vilsack, all these people in charge of this is very, very dangerous because their agenda is Codex Alimentarius. And this is something you never hear it mentioned in the news.
That's right.
And little by little, you just had, McCain tried to push some of it down people's throats down in Arizona. Little by little, they're chipping away not only at the Constitution and our rights to health and everything else, but banning things that, you know, organic farming and all this stuff. All these bills that are going into Congress, people really need to pay attention. And there is a great website, if you don't mind me mentioning it. It's the National... I met Enrico Melson. He's a doctor that... He just moved to New Zealand to do organic farming, but they've been fighting to keep natural health alive for many, many years. The National Health Federation, www.thenhf.com. You can learn all about Codex Alimentarius and see what's really going on. And like I said, I travel around the planet, and because that's my job, I do music, and I've done spoken word, I give lectures, I do book signings, and it's just really about making people become aware of these agendas, these hidden agendas. People like to attach the word conspiracy theory, but when you start seeing these bills coming up through Congress and
them raiding
a health food store with guns that are giving people raw milk, I mean, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the signs are there in front of us. We just, you know, we have to pay attention to what's going on.
What I always wonder about is these laws and things that benefit these people, it's only a short-term benefit, and they have families that are living in this environment. So I always wonder, how is it that they are promoting these things, foods that aren't healthy for anyone? I know I've heard that in Monsanto they don't serve any GMO. It's all organic in their cafeteria.
And Michelle Obama has an
organic
farm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know.
And even George Bush didn't want people to know that he ate organic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny you brought up that book, Sister Vegan, because I've looked through it, and I talk about in this book, food deserts. They did a whole thing on it on ABC about how this guy walked home 5 miles, African-American, 5 miles from work. He wanted to get in shape. All he passed the entire 5 miles was nothing but fast food places, and he could not even buy so much as a banana or an apple. You needed a car to go out to the suburbs to buy fruits and vegetables. Now, how is anybody supposed to be healthy when this is the situation that's going on?
But that should be our...
You made a very important point. And, I mean, I had a lot of issues with Food Inc. because they talked about, you know, grass-fed killing and all that. I'm against all that. But what they did say is that something very, very enlightening. We have the greatest power, and that's our, the power of our vote counts with what we put in our supermarket cart. And what what we support, if we support local organic farming, go to the farmers market, support these farmers, you know, support health food stores and restaurants like Angelica's Kitchen.
I just had lunch there.
I love it. Leslie's a great friend. And let me tell you about Leslie. Back in when we were squatting and living in burnt down buildings, she helped everybody from the neighborhood because at 10 o'clock you would roll over there and she would give you all the extra greens, beans. You know, and not to mention Candle 79 and Candle Cafe, Bart and Joy, and I mean, these are amazing
really
people who really support the animal rights movement and give food that can really, I mean, I brought, you know, killers, literally, my friend Special Forces, I brought him up there and he was like, I could eat this kind of food every day, you know, and, you know, Binet, all these people, they're so loving and the vibration of the food is so high that you actually get high when you eat
I agree.
That kind of food. It's
and
true.
And why don't you want to buy things from people that are full of love and only have quality things to give you? So if it's a little more expensive, it's worth it.
You can pay now. Or you can pay later. And it's about the quality of life. And everybody makes that point. And the thing is, yeah, you may pay a little more for organic food and stuff like that now. But as more and more people get into it, the prices will come down. But the thing is, look at your quality of life. What diseases are you going to have? Type 2? You're going to spend hundreds of dollars a month on medication, and your time is going to be utilized going to see doctors and this and that and the other thing.
Oh, it's fun sitting in a doctor's office for a few hours waiting to be seen.
You know what? I'm 48 years old. I just trained. I just was in the gym for 2 hours and then did 25 miles of sprints on my bike. I don't have a pain in my body.
Now you look like a kid.
I rode to Jones Beach Saturday, 85 miles. You know, I can do what I want to do, and that's because I invested in my health, and it really is the greatest, you know, the greatest investment we can make. And I don't consider food to be the end all, but it's a step in the progress of the evolution of our consciousness as people on this planet. We have to stop slaughtering these animals, polluting the ocean, you know, destroying the ecological system of the ocean by the fishing and everything else that's in sewage from the slaughterhouses. And, I mean, it's just all this knowledge is contained in the book. And if you don't mind, I'd like to pump the website get it.
Pump
it's www.meatisforpussies.org. That's where you can get the book. And I'm on Facebook, John Joseph. If you want to hit me up, I would love to hear from you.
Okay. We got a lot more to talk about, and I want to talk about a little bit more about factory farm fishing. You kind of mentioned it, and it's getting a lot of stuff in the press. There's a lot of things to talk about, but we're going to take a short break.
Beautiful.
And we'll be right back.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And if you've been with us for the last half hour, I hope you've been having a good time. I have, because I am with the amazing John Joseph, author of Meat is for Pussies. And I'm sure if you call in, you'll get some very interesting responses to your question, 1-888-874-4888, or send me an email anytime during the week at info@realmeals.org. Right. Okay, so, John, we were talking a little bit about, you just kind of touched on factory farming, and there's been a bunch of stuff in the news lately about allowing GMO salmon now and factory farming salmon and giving it this, I don't know, some kind of magic potion so that it grows a lot faster in a shorter amount of time. And now they're talking about some sort of the giant Atlantic bluefin. They're talking about farming that as well. Kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing is, it's really a Pandora's box once you start messing around with nature and you know, eating these foods that, I mean, especially, you know, GMO fish and I mean...
They haven't been tested over the long term, and we don't know what harm they can do.
Right.
And we're getting clues.
Well, for instance, I was just in England doing some festivals there this summer, and a bunch of cloned beef that was never meant to be released to the public got out.
Oops.
Oops, yeah, oops.
And was in your burger.
And, yeah. I mean... You know, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. And, I mean, the thing about all this food and what they're doing, these Frankenfoods, you know,
it just surprises me that scientists will go for this, because there's so many things that we've seen that don't work and don't work well. So one thing we know is that diversity is better than one of a kind of something. And so we need diversity not only in people, but we need diversity in our plant life, in our animal life. And when we start cloning, we start eliminating diversity. And diversity saves us from a lot of things. It prevents viruses and blights, because if everything's the same, it's going to respond the same way. And we can wipe out a total crop, a total species, whatever.
Exactly.
That's not good. And then there are other things. This whole thing with this aquaculture, this factory farming of fish, we started agriculture of land animals maybe 10,000 years ago. And over time, we've seen the devastation as a result. And so the same thing is happening now with fish. So we've learned that we have to feed animals a lot of plant food in order for them to grow, and then feed ourselves from the animals. And this is really inefficient. It wastes a lot of energy, it wastes a lot of food. And it's the same with fish. So they have to scoop up all of these smaller fish from the ocean, grind them up to feed these factory farmed fish, and the oceans are devastated as a result.
Right. I mean, you know, if you look at even economically, the amount of resources that are wasted to do all this factory farming and you know, feed grain and all this stuff to animals. And, I mean, and just the amount of resources needed to grind up fish and feed these fish to the other fish. You know, I adhere to the Vedic philosophy of India. I read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and I have for 30 years. That was part of my growth and evolution spiritually. And they talk about foodstuffs in the three modes of nature. Foodstuffs in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of goodness. Hmm. Foodstuffs in the mode of ignorance that tend to have a bad smell, it's decaying flesh, does not promote longevity in life. Whereas foods in the mode of goodness, fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, legumes, they promote vitality and lengthen the duration of life. So, I mean, there's no real reason. I mean, everyone brings up the whole, you know, omega issue to eat fish. There's so many other places to get omegas. And, you know, the thing is, you ask a lot of these people, where does the fish get the omegas from? And they're eating the plankton in the ocean.
That's right.
So why don't you just go and get some spirulina or some chlorella or some E3 Live and get it direct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just... You know, we just believe the lies of these corporations that have an agenda, and their agenda is to make billions of dollars, and they could care less what the long-term effects of these foods are going to be on us, because by then they'll have another shelter company and they'll be closed before the lawsuits can come.
Okay, you've been doing this for over three decades now, or about
30 years.
Great,
yeah.
And I've been doing it for 30 years plus. And you've probably seen some improvements over time in terms of the availability of food. People, more and more people know what the word vegan is now. You know, you don't get this deer in headlights look sometimes,
right,
when you say I'm a vegan. So we see some progress, even though at the same time there's horrible things going on with agriculture and factory farming. There was an article that came out yesterday in the Men's Journal, and It's not one of my favorite magazines, Men's Journal. They always.
Well, I tried to get in that. They shut me down five times. Already.
Well, I think they're ready for you now because they had an article yesterday called The Men's Journal Guide to Going Vegan. And they actually have information here from a nutritionist from PCRM, the Physicians Committee of Responsible Medicine, and Scott Jurek.
Oh, I love him, the endurance runner.
That's right.
Who just took second place in the world endurance run back at the beginning of the summer.
And can we tell everyone what Scott Jurek's diet is?
Clean vegan. You see, there's a difference, and that's
there are junk food vegans.
Let me try to break it down for you. All that red bamboo and all that fried tofu with oil and all this crap is not what I eat. Yes, it is vegan, but there's a study came out that I was reading. It was in the Times, I think, about 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And it said that a lot of these people that went vegan 20 years ago, 25 years ago, are now ending up with type 2 diabetes as well. Because they eat processed food. They eat crap. And just because it's vegan, they eat it. But it's not. You're not going to be able to do what a Scott Jurek or my friend Brendan Brazier, who's actually speaking next week at who did the Thrive Diet.
Yes.
Mostly raw food, Iron Man. Mm-hmm. I'm friends with Rip Esselstyn, the guy that did the Engine 2 diet. And you're not going to be able to do what these guys do and what I'm attempting to do on junk food vegan. So, yes, Scott Jurek is vegan, but he's clean vegan. He eats whole foods and superfoods and stuff like that. And that's really the difference of... Just because something's vegan don't mean it's good
for
you.
Sure, you could live on, well, not live well and not live long, on potato chips and french fries and Coke.
That's vegan.
But it's not really healthy.
Right.
And we want vegans to be models.
Exactly. And because the bigger issue is, as human beings, we don't have the right to destroy other living entities just because we want to eat them. And that's I'm sorry, that's what's at the real issue to me. You know, I don't wear leather. I don't do any of this stuff because I just feel I don't have the right to infringe upon the rights of other living entities to wear their skins or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about nutrition and nutrition for athletes. Because I hear it all the time, and I know one guy out there who's always talking about lifting, heavy lifting, and needing protein. A gram of protein for every pound, and these heavy-duty protein powders, whey protein, and all these amino acids that they need from animals that you can't get from plants. What do you have to say about that?
I say that's bogus because if you look, Google Mike Mahler, M-A-H-L-E-R, Rob Bigwood, the arm wrestling, excuse the pun, he's the arm wrestling champion of the East Coast, endurance athletes, strength athletes. These guys are all coming up now, and they're staying away from any type of animal protein whatsoever. It puts so much stress on your kidneys. I mean, you know, the stuff that they're doing to cows, even in the dairy industry. And the whey comes when they separate the milk into curds and whey, and the curds goes for cheese or whatever. And I mean, there's so much crap in whey, and it's so processed. I mean, there's so many great. Brendan Brazier supports the whole Vega Sequel line. I mean, there's so many super proteins, chia seeds. I mean, what do you need to take? You know, the average person, if you multiply their body weight by 0.36, that's the RDA, recommended daily allowance for protein. Now, an athlete, you probably want to add a person who's consuming, foods to train as an athlete or a bodybuilder or whatever, I'm sure you'd probably want to pretty much double that. But, you know, the whole thing with this massive gallons of protein and all this stuff is that, you know, that's the first thing that I'm told. And then I say... You know, then I start bringing up, where do you get your vitamin K? And they look at me.
What?
Like,
huh?
So it's not just only about protein. The you know, you need good fats, you need all kinds of things to basically eat a very balanced diet. You know, I mean, I was just in the gym, you know, and I had actually an argument with a debate with one guy, and he's like an old school bodybuilder, you know, yeah, with the tiger striped pants, and you know, and I said, dude, I'll tell you what, yeah, you got like 50 pounds on me. I'm still benching, you know, 230 pounds, but I'm like, sure, you can bench 300 pounds, but I'll tell you what, I'm gonna work out here, and right after this, I'm going to run 12 miles. Why don't you come with me? Because even in the military, I tried to get into the special forces in the Navy, and the test was not just how much weight, it's strength, endurance,
right,
and flexibility.
And flexibility.
That is the military strength for overall fitness. It's who cares if you have big, huge muscles if you can't do nothing with them.
Right.
So, you know, this whole thing of I gotta be as big as I can and crack walnuts with my bicep is, to me, it's like, you know, it's this whole Adonis, like, I gotta, you know, who cares about if you have all this unconscious muscle? Like, I've seen women in yoga class do shoulder stands for 15 minutes, and these guys can't even do it for 30 seconds.
Right.
So what's the real test of real strength and real fitness? To me, it's like, what do you need all this protein for? In the long run, like I said, it's putting so much stress. It's building a very acidic body. You know, there's no pH and all that stuff. So what are you doing to your body? You're putting so much stress on your body, and you're eating all this crap. You know, you basically can't even have a good bowel movement. I hear these guys in the gym, bathroom, and it's like, yo, dude, get some wheatgrass juice, you know? You just want to tell them. But, you know.
Isn't it amazing? You have the simple answers to so many problems, and yet people don't want to hear it.
It's simple for the simple, and I like to say that. It's people have made it seem like it's unreachable and it's unattainable. Because there's an agenda, and once again, it comes to the agenda. But it's really simple for the simple. I mean, if you look at where the origin of martial arts came from, India, everybody knows that. If you talk to any martial arts people, it originated in India.
Right.
So what did they eat in India? What did all of those martial arts practitioners eat? They did not eat meat. They did not eat fish. They didn't eat any of that. They maintained pretty much. They might have a little bit of raw milk, but it was a dairy-free, almost complete vegan diet. So, you know, to me, I'm 48. Like I say, you know, I like to be able to do whatever I want to do. I'm riding to Montauk this weekend, and then I'm going to do a 2.5-mile ocean swim. And, you know, it's all about longevity in what you want to do in life and, you know, not at the expense of other living entities. And that's what it all comes back to. And that was my, you know, my point with him. And then I said to him, no animal found in nature that's made by the laws of nature to eat meat has a colon, has a small intestine. And there was just so many things I kept saying to him that he didn't have an answer for. So then we both worked out for about an hour, and then that's when I said, hey, I'm going to go run 12 miles. Come with me.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm not really a runner. And I'm like, yeah, you sit in here and you lift weights for 3 hours and,
what
you
do
know,
you do with it?
What else?
Mm-hmm.
What else, you know? I mean, I'm fascinated by even the old school Mark Allen and all these guys, Dave Scott, who were vegetarian and winning the Ironman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when you see what these guys do, it's like it's not about, you know, swallowing gallons of whey protein.
I like to tell people to eat from the Garden of Eden or go into the produce section of a supermarket to know that it really isn't difficult. You don't have to be counting anything, counting calories, making sure you get the certain kind of nutrients. You just want to have a varied diet of plants and fruits and vegetables, colors, and have a good time with them. It's not that complicated.
Exactly. And I'd like to just mention...
Let's talk about
the person who wrote the foreword to my book is Fred Bishi, PhD in nutritional science. If anybody knows... I mean, all these new jack wacko raw foods people, I won't mention any names, that are narcissists that came up in the last 25 years who, like... One, I wanted to put my foot up his ass. He came up to me in a restaurant, and I'm like, yo, dude, I'm from the street. I keep it real. When someone has this attitude to me, there's no humility. When I met Fred Bishi at Caravan of Dreams, I got in a conversation with him. The first thing that I noticed about the man was his humility and his knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to write the foreword, you know, to this book. And I started talking to him about what he does every day. He runs 10 miles every day.
Wow.
He's been raw foods for 50 years. He's cured 35,000 people all over the planet of disease through natural and raw foods. And he says the same thing. It's so easy, but people just want to make it so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I asked him to write the foreword to the book, and the first thing he said to me was, I have to read the manuscript first. I can't put my name on it. And when he read...
I like that.
Well, yeah,
because I've read a lot of books that have comments and forwards, and I know the people haven't read the
book. Yeah, well, so when he sent me the email back, he said, John, he left me a message on my cell phone. He said, John, I read your book. I just got to say, it's a real kick in the nuts, and these guys need to hear this stuff. I'm going to get the forward to you right away. I love Fred, man. Uh-huh. He's good people.
Well, that's what it is. A kick in the nuts. And everybody needs it.
Yeah.
Get the point already.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I know that people are thinking out there, what does he eat? What is he possibly eating? And he's exercising all the time. What is he eating? And you've got some very nice recipes in the back.
Yes.
So let's talk about your day of food.
Some of the recipes, there may be some seitan and stuff like that, because I know from when I came from eating burgers, when HR, the singer for the Bad Brains, first took me to Angelica's and I got a Dragon Ball, I was like, you know what, your taste buds are covered over by all this crap, salt, oil, sugar, so you can't appreciate, you know, the taste
plain
of...
food.
Yeah, but I tried to do the seitan a little healthier and tempeh and stuff like that, so that people can transition away from those poisonous foods, replace, you know, their chicken maybe with some organic soy chicken or whatever. But, you know, for instance, last night, that's exactly what I had at Angelica's. I went in and I got the Dragon Bargain, which is like a bowl of organic soup, you know, organic bread, and then the plate of seaweed, rice, beans, you know, grain, tempeh, and, you know, all day long, you know, the thing about America is, and this is why, you know, we're the biggest, fattest nation on the planet, is because right now, it's like we live to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it should be the other way around. We should be eating to live, to maintain our bodies. We overeat. I mean, just the other day, I was walking down on the east side, and there's this tour. And, you know, my friend said something to me in Europe. He goes, yeah, you guys. He's like, yeah, man, you guys are making the whole freaking planet fat now. You know,
that's right.
It's true, we are.
Because they're getting fat in
and
Europe now.
These people were on a tour yesterday. And, you know, God bless the woman giving the tour. She was definitely borderline obese and walking around. And all these people were walking around, and they were just looking in all these food shops. I said, hey, man. I said, what kind of tour is that? And they're like, it's a food tour. It's like, you know, of like poison. You know,
but even those that are eating to live, eating healthfully, enjoy their food.
Yes.
I love the food that
I eat. Exactly. I mean, I had I had a bowl of all organic fruit this morning, you know. And when I wake up in the morning, it's just like a car. You don't wake up and start throwing all this, you know, all this crap in your system. Like, the stuff that people wake up and eat first thing in the morning, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I have a juicer. I juice in the morning. I start water, juice, you know. And one of the great things that Fred Bisci talks about is food sequencing, which I learned from him. See, and that's really what he talks about is that, you know, you want to put in your raw foods and your juices and then your raw foods and then your cooked foods, because if you do it the other way around, then all of the raw food is sitting on top of the cooked food trying to digest, whereas the raw foods and juices will be assimilated through the intestine much more rapidly and absorbed in nutrition. So it's really about paying attention to not just what you eat, but how you eat and when,
you eat.
You know, don't eat before bed. It's not good for you. You know, that's the quickest way to gain weight, because your body's, you know, first of all, you're not sleeping properly, which puts stress on the body, and it causes your cortisol levels to rise. Because, and then, you know, Brendan Brazier told me a great story. He said, when I started training for the Ironman, he didn't clean up his diet yet. This is when he first started. And he said, you know, my first week, I'm doing 40 hours a week of training for an Ironman. First week, I gained a pound. Second week, I gained 2 pounds. Third week, another 2 pounds. So he went to an endocrinologist. He said, your cortisol levels are through the roof. And it was because he wasn't resting properly, and he was eating terribly. And that's when he cleaned up his diet, and he really paid attention to when he consumes nutrients at what times. He's consuming his carbohydrate meals before a workout. He does his protein recovery stuff after his workouts. So really, it's, I pay attention to a lot of that as much as possible.
I love his book Thrive, and he certainly is a model.
He's speaking at next week, I think it's the 13th or 14th, he's speaking at Integral Yoga. At Jiva Mukti.
And when you talk about people having humility, too, he's another one who is, you know, very, very humble.
Super humble guy. Rip Esselstyn, same thing. Mm-hmm. Engine 2 diet, coming out with a line of superfoods and whole foods.
Right.
Very humble people and willing to give the knowledge, and that's, you know, that's why I gravitate more towards people like that, because I really feel they're the ones that's going to really help people, because people know when you're talking down to them, and, you know, it's not good. Just because you've been given some knowledge, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you should be a jerk to everybody, you know. And too many of these people in this field, they've taken this superiority complex over people. And
now there are some people that always mention grass-fed beef and that being an okay food. And there are a lot of athletes and people promoting diets for weightlifters that say that they should be eating grass-fed beef. And even, I was just, you know, these free newspapers you get from time to time, I just got one today, and there's an article about fast food without the guilt, and they're talking about some new fast food restaurants that popped up, and there's one in New York now that makes burgers with meat from grass-fed cattle.
Right.
But good food, bad food.
What do you think I'm going to say to that?
Bad food!
First of all, as I say, I come back to the karmic aspect, which is something that I believe in. When you take the life of an animal, metaphysically, I have to say, I would never, ever, ever eat grass-fed or anything like that. But the whole other thing is, can the whole planet be sustained from a grass-fed diet?
I'm glad you brought that up.
No, it's for the 1% of rich, wealthy people.
There is not enough land mass on this planet to grass-feed cattle to feed the planet.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And instead of giving all these crops going back to the factory farming, why don't we start to really pay attention to where what we're growing in the fields across America and where that food is ending up. There's no scarcity of food. There shouldn't be people starving in Africa and all these other countries all over the world. It's because the countries like Germany, the United States, England, France, it's this global elite, Japan, and all this other stuff that want to eat Kobe beef and all this other nonsense, where it just creates scarcity for the masses. And we have to start thinking. One thing that the internet did, it made the planet smaller in the sense that more people, we realize more that it's not just about the United States. What we do here, what they do in Germany, what they do anywhere else in Australia, it affects the entire planet.
I think that's the hope for this movement, is the internet. That's where,
absolutely,
because there have been vegetarians for thousands of years, and I've been reading some history that in the last couple hundred years things have been going on, but they just haven't been getting anywhere, and I think the internet's what's going to take it off.
Well, that's why Brzezinski just had a Bilderberg meeting in Montreal months back, and what he said was that this is a very dangerous time on the planet. And the reason he said is because more and more people globally are becoming aware of global politics and paying attention to it. And that's
right.
A very dangerous situation. And for him to say that, and that's on YouTube, that's not something made up. You can hear those words come right out of his own mouth. Because now we're becoming aware and we realize that this internet is really a tool to make people aware of what's going on.
To educate the masses.
It really is.
Okay, well, I think we need a revolution in food. And one way to be ready is to pick up Meat is for Pussies by John Joseph. John, it was great talking to you.
Beautiful.
Hope you're going to sign my book today.
Your vibration is amazing. Woo! And I'm a huge supporter of Gary Noll. And
great. Thank you so much. I'm Karen Hardglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. And next week I'll have Jim May on, and we'll be speaking about stevia.
Hare Krishna.